us as complete opposite. There is no gray area. This is all black and white, something that we talked about last week. Love is a choice, a commitment. It's an act of will. It's not an emotion. Because Jesus chose to love us even when it cost him everything. Love is sacrificial, like Gerald said. This is the one that I want to really focus on. In verse 16, Jesus laid down his life for us. Love put others' needs before our own. That's the sacrificial love that we talk about. I'm going to give you some examples to kind of let you see what sacrificial love is about, and I would say that we all need to do a better job. So how many of us can say, I love my church? I think everybody can raise their hand. How many of us can say, I love the people in my church? I think everybody can raise their hand as well. But we say that with our mouth. Does it reflect in our hearts here? Does it reflect how we live our life? Does our life bear that fruit? And if it does, can others see it? So ask yourself that. Yes, you know what love is. You know what sacrificial love is. But are you doing it? We can say we love when it's a time of convenience. We can say we love when it's easy to be loved. Because that person haven't done anything wrong to me. It's easy. Light work. We can say we love because I have time. Or when I expect in return. That's not love. That's not sacrificial love anyway. If you don't have time, you got to make time. If you're too busy, we're all busy. If you don't have kids now and you think you're busy, just wait till you have kids. It's a different ball game, right? You're busy, we're all busy. Change your priorities. If it's too much work, well, let me tell you, it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. It's not easy because it is. That's not sacrificial love. The other day we were playing volleyball, and you know, a good example I think of this is somebody 20 minutes, just play a good 20 minutes back home. They didn't have to come. It wasn't convenient for them. But they put in the effort. They went there anyway to play fellowship with one another. That's sacrificial love. Another example is you got things to do. Church needs help. Fixing things, doing things. And I want to give a quick shout out to the significant others who are helping us, holding the house down, holding the kids down, allowing us to come and fix things that needs to be done in God's house. Without your help, we wouldn't be able to do what we're called to do. You know, allowing us to be here on a random Tuesday at 6 p.m. or a Thursday at 4 p.m. You taking care of the kids while we're in our meetings during dinner time. You watching the kids so we can prepare the lessons. You know who you are, and I'm not going to give you any credit because I want you to know God knows it and he's going to bless you for it. Because you know that that work is just as important, if not more important, than what we are doing at church. And that's also your ministry. That is how you serve. And you can't say, oh, I don't ever do anything for church. And your ministry starts at home first. So don't think you're not at church. You're not doing anything. So sacrificial love is also not 50-50. I repeat, it is not 50-50. Someday, your significant other may only be able to give you 9, 10%. You got to come to the table and put that 90% down, even though you don't feel like it. That's sacrificial love. And someday maybe it's you with the 30% and she comes with that 70%. If she had a hard day at work, say less. I'm going to watch the kids. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to shower them. I might take them out for the night to give you a couple hours to yourself. Give you that time to recuperate and just have that time to yourself. That's sacrificial love. But the next point is point three of number three. Love is unconditional. Bible says here in Romans 5:8, God loved us while we were still sinners. Because biblical love isn't based on somebody's worthiness. And the best example I can give you is obviously when you have kids. That's unconditional love, because there's nothing, absolutely nothing they can do for us in return. And we don't expect them to. But yet, we want to give what's best for them, and we want to give them the best of our ability. Biblical love speaks in truth, and this is something that is tough as well. Because biblical love is compassionate, but it's also honest. And the same concept goes, God thinks a lot of people is love. Yes, He is love, but we also forget the last part. He is also just. In the same way, biblical love is compassionate, but it's also honest. It cares enough to lovingly correct an injury. And that's in Ephesians 4:15. So sometimes, us, you've got to have that uncomfortable talks. And this is what I learned from Gerald a while back. You've got to even rebuke them. And sometimes you got to correct them. Especially us men, as being the older brothers in church. Those things are hard, but they produce good fruits. They yield good fruits, I promise you that. Sometimes, depending on how they're living their life, you got to correct the way they're living. Maybe at work, you got to help them in their relationships. So that's what it takes to speak in truth. And lastly, biblical love centers on giving. Love asks, how can I serve? How can I encourage others? How can I be a blessing to others? Because culture says, take, take, take. But biblical love says, give, give, and give. Are you giving your time? Your energy? Your resources? Your finances? Are you giving? Or you just say, yeah, I love you. And that's it. Point number two. Hatred reveals a dangerous heart. Here you can see John gave us a clear example of Cain. Right, we don't need to be like Cain. Because he isn't just guilty for murder. His murder began long before he killed his brother. So in Genesis 4 tells us that God accepted Abel's offering. If you guys don't know that story, that's in Genesis 4. God accepted Abel's offering. So what happened to Cain? He became jealous. God warned him. He didn't repent. So what that does is he had that hatred in his heart, and it grew into a murder. So the question is, why did Cain hate Abel? If we go to verse 12 again. Because his actions were evil, and his brother's actions were righteous. So here you see that righteous people often expose the truth, expose sinful hearts. Because people don't hate Christians because we're mean. Sometimes they hate us because the righteousness of Christ in us exposed them. So in John 7, verse 7, the world hates me because I testify that is evil work. The world hates me because I testify is evil work. That's talking about love speaking in truth, isn't it? So jealousy turns into pride. Pride turns into bitterness. And if those things left unchecked, they continue to grow and grow and get bigger. Sin never starts something big. It starts out with something very small. So what does bitterness lead to? Verse 13. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. So here you can see that John is connecting Cain's situation to today's world. Cain representing the world system. And Jesus warned us about this. If you can go to the next slide. In John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it hated me first before it hated you. So, how should a Christian feel about persecution? Is that something that we seek out? Not really, no. But is it something that we should be prepared to endure? Endure it faithfully. Because Jesus never promised us as a Christian that you're going to have an easy life. And on the contrary, if you have an easy life, you might need to reconsider. Because what he promises, during the difficult time, he will be there. He will be there to meet your need. He will be there where you are. So I ask you, are you living out that faith that's being persecuted? Just knowing isn't enough anymore. Are people rejecting you because of your faith? Are the devil actively attacking you? Your marriage? Your household? When you're going through tough times, and this is what me and Joe, we always talk about all the time. When we're going through tough times, one is a blessing that we have each other. But when we're going through tough time while serving God, that is a sign of a faithful follower. And it's only going to get worse. And I've talked to many of us here, we've been in that situation. When you start serving God, the devil starts attacking you spiritually, physically. And if you experience that, I encourage you, keep going. And that's a sign that if he's attacking you, you're doing something right, because the devil doesn't attack his own people. So my last point, verse 16. This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for our brothers and sisters. So doesn't this verse sound familiar? What I just read is 1 John 3:16. Now, if you guys remember, John 3:16 says something very similar. Can we go to the next slide? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him should, not maybe, not might, should not perish, but have eternal life. Here Jesus defines what real loves look like. And John is also draw a comparison between Cain and Jesus. Can we go to the next slide, Chris? So here's the comparison. Cain, who hated his brother, took life, represented evil, motivated by jealousy, and all that, at the end of the day, it produced death. For Jesus, he loved his people. He gave his life, represented God, motivated by grace, and he brought life. So this is what love is. If I had to summarize everything, what is love? Jesus is love. You cannot say you know love if you don't know Jesus. So the question is, which one are you following? You might not say it, but how are you living your life? That's who you're following. Which one are you following? How are you living that life? So let me give us some practical application before we end this message. After knowing what sacrificial love is, are you forgiving someone that's hurting you? Are you serving other people? Are you serving your church without expectations? Are you giving your time, your resource? And are you encouraging and praying for others? And talking about just praying for others, yesterday I saw Chad, and I was, man, like, some of you guys, I don't know if you guys knew what he went through, but it was a life and death situation, and I saw him yesterday. I was like, God is good. Being able to see him walk and doing all this again, you know, that's, God's there answering prayers. So are you doing those things? Are you praying for each other? Like I said, over and over again, if you have not been listening, if you can take anything away from this, it's that knowing is not enough. Because Jesus set that example of what sacrificial love looks like. Is this the type of love that you have in your family, in your church? And do you show this type of love as well? So let me conclude this message. John reminds us that a genuine disciple of Christ are recognized by their love. Again, love is not an emotion. It is an evidence. It's an evidence of a transformed heart. He compares Cain, whose hatred led to death, but with Jesus, sacrificial love brings life. Jesus, as our standard, as our perfect example, who gave his life, has called us to love one another, to sacrifice through service, through forgiveness, and putting others before ourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words this morning. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, for our sins and our transgression towards you. Help us not only hear your words, but be a doer of your words. We thank you for being the perfect example of showing us how to love. I ask that you remove any bitterness, jealousy, anger, resentment, unforgiveness from our hearts. But God, replace them with compassion, humility, and grace. Ask that you give us the courage to stand firm during trials, tribulation, and persecution, so that our life can reflect your Son. So when other people see us, they know that we are your children. Father God, teach us to love sacrificially, serve joyfully, and encourage one another. Lord, help us to be the church, to be a place where your love is shown and where your love is experienced. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.